You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
I've been preaching for 33 Christmases so far, and the first couple years was really exciting because it's like I get to go to Luke, I get to preach about angels and shepherds, and around year four or five, I was like, what do I preach about now? I've kind of covered every possible angle of Christmas. And the reality is, I haven't. It feels like Christmas is, no matter how much you cover, it's just eternally new. There's always so much to see. There's always so much to discover about it. And yet, I realized that, I've got to keep it fresh in my own heart and mind in order to really understand what is taking place. And this is a passage of scripture. You might have wondered as we read it, why is Tina Marie reading John 17? This is not a Christmas passage. Well, there's a verse in here that it struck me this week really is a Christmas passage. And normally we're going to look at a larger chunk of scripture, especially next year we're going to be looking at half books at a time. But today I want to look at just one verse, verse 18 in this passage. And the verse is very simple. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So it's so simple that probably some of you will have memorized it by the time I'm done preaching on it. Just a very simple verse. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. This is part of Jesus' high priestly prayer. This was the prayer that Jesus prayed the night before he gave his life for us. In this prayer, we get a window into the heart of Jesus. And we know that from eternity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit had this relationship with each other. It's not until the high priestly prayer that we actually get a conversation between the two that we get to witness. And so it's very intimate. I don't know if you've ever been at dinner and you're seated close to the couple beside you. And you might have formed opinions of them from a distance, but that evening you can't help but overhear the very intimate conversation they're having with each other. Well, this is like that. This is the disciples for the first time here. This is what Jesus says to the Father. This is the conversation that they've had. A little bit of the relationship, if you think this has been going on for millennia, actually from all of eternity, they've been having this relationship. For the first time, we get to listen at what Jesus and his heavenly Father say to each other. Now, Jesus' high priestly prayer is only 650 words. It takes 3 minutes and 30 seconds to read it out loud. But as somebody said, it's going to take eternity for us to fully understand it. This gives us a window into the conversation between Jesus and his Father, but also gives us a window into Christmas, what caused Jesus to be born at Christmas. So let me just read that verse again and read it with a Christmas lens here. Father, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So two parts. You've sent me into the world, and so I'm sending them. I've sent them into the world. Such a simple verse, and yet I think there's enough here to change our lives. And really, there's two truths. One is about Jesus being sent, the other about us being sent. So here is the first truth. Christmas gives us a radical encounter with God's love. Christmas gives us a radical encounter with God's love. Jesus says, as you have sent me into the world. You know, there's the kids have now gone upstairs. I love having kids in the church. I love the noise that they bring. If there's any parents here who ever worry about like the noise the kids are causing in the church, I just have three words for you. Bring it on. This is amazing. You'll never hear me complaining about the noise of kids in the church. Of course, there's the time to take. We understand we had children. There's a time, of course, but I love it. I love everything about having kids here. I love that we're hopefully growing our kids' ministry. I love Steffi and Jameson and the work they're doing. But of all the kids that have been born in this world, in history, there's only one who can say what Jesus said here. There's only one who can say that he was sent into the world. Now, some of you were planned and hoped for. Some of you were a surprise. And I remember one of my friends had a baby and named her Zenzanina. And it's like, okay, what does that mean? And he said, okay, the literal translation of the word is, oh God, what have we done? So imagine having that as your name, like, oops, basically, is your name. Some of you were planned, some of you were surprised, but there's only one person in history who could say what Jesus said. Jesus said, Father, as you sent me into this world. In all of history, Jesus is the only one who's been sent. I did a word search of sent in the Gospel of John, and I could spend the rest of the service just reading, because there's over 60 references to being sent in the Gospel of John. Let me just give you a sample. Jesus said in 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. He sent me. 6:38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. 7:28-29, you know me, and you know where I came from, but I did not come of my own initiative. He who sent me is true. In him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me. Lastly, 8:42, I could go on and on. I came not of my own initiative, but he sent me. This is not a minor thing. The whole Gospel of John is basically, as somebody said, about sending and being sent. 60 times in the Gospel of John. So one thing is clear. Jesus knew that he was not born by accident. Jesus knew that he had been sent. He had been sent by his Heavenly Father, but on a mission. He arrived in Bethlehem because he was sent. And you get a little window into the relationship between the Father and the Son. The Father said, Son, I want you to go. And the Son said, here I am, send me. I'm sent, I will gladly go on this mission. It's not the only passage of Scripture, the Gospel of John, that talks about this. I love Galatians 4, verse 4. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. You know, this week we're celebrating Christmas. There's so many things that set it apart. There's so many things that set apart Jesus and the birth of Jesus. We could talk about the number of prophecies that are fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. We could talk about the miraculous nature of the virgin birth. Again, the only person in history who was born to a virgin, which is actually very important because Jesus was born without a sin nature. Make it as you will that obviously, you know, the Holy Spirit had to conceive of Jesus for that to happen. The God-man, divine nature, human nature, God, the God-man, God, fully man. We could talk about the fact that Jesus left the praises of heaven. Can you imagine 1 minute being adored by angels in eternity? Can you imagine just being with God, your Father? I mean, from eternity, you've enjoyed this perfect relationship with him. And the next minute, you're this little fertilized egg in the womb of a teenage mother. We could talk about what that would be like. We could talk about how Jesus was born in obscurity, noticed only by people who didn't matter. We could talk about his genealogies that included people that most of us would hide from our family tree. We could talk about the fact that Jesus, in the manger, was holding the whole universe together. This baby, at the same time as he was lying in a manger, was ruling the world. So many things set apart the birth of Jesus. But one of the things that set him apart that we often overlook but shouldn't is that Jesus was born because he was sent. This week, as we celebrate Christmas, a week from today, the reason we're celebrating this baby who was born that day is because Jesus said, the Father said, I'm sending you, and Jesus said, I'll gladly go on this mission. Well, we have to ask ourselves, you know, why? I don't know if you ever had that experience of being sent. And, you know, I've done this before. I've been sent to Metro to buy something. And I'm there wandering aisles going, what was I sent for again? Tech Charlene, you know, what, you know, have you had that happen? Am I the only one? I'm the only one. Please help me, Godfrey. Have you ever had that happen? Okay, somebody. I'm the only one here. Why did Jesus come? Why was he sent? Well, he was sent by his Father out of love for you. The Father was so full of love that knowing the best and the worst about us, he sent his Son on a rescue mission to save us. I often talk about the fact that this week we're celebrating our wedding anniversary. I often talk about the fact that 32 years ago, I hoodwinked Charlene. I don't know what I did, but I tricked her, and she walked down the aisle thinking she was getting something. And we often talk about the fact that neither of us had any idea what we were getting. We had no clue. Now, I ended up actually getting something amazing, and I hoodwinked Charlene. She got me. So unlike Charlene, when she walked down that aisle, when Jesus was sent into this world, he was not hoodwinked. He knew. He knew everything about us, and he said, I'll go. Jesus knew the worst about us, and the Father said to Jesus, I want you to go to save these people, and Jesus said, I'm in. I will go on this mission of love, knowing the worst about them. I will go. He left heaven on this mission to rescue us. That's how much God loves us. Now, I have a pretty bad habit. I don't know if anybody remembers John Magwood. He was our student pastor a number of years ago, and he came from London, Ontario, and he was in the area. One day I was going down East Liberty Street, and I saw him, but I was so focused on a task that I walked right by him. He's like, hi, Daryl, and I got about 10 steps away, and then I was like, oh, John, hey, John, and later I apologized to him, like, sorry, I was so focused on a task that I completely missed you. You know, Jesus was sent on this mission, but unlike me, that I can tend to be so focused on the task that I forget the people, people were his mission. Jesus came into the world for the sake of people. And you see all through the Gospels, he announced good news to people. He gave hope to sinners. He invited people to follow him. And finally, this is when Jesus really changed. Partway through his teaching ministry, something switched. It was almost like a flip it switched, and he said, now's the time. And we read in the Gospel of John that he set his face toward Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to the cross. At that point, he just said, it was almost like a horse with blinders on saying, I've got one single-minded purpose right now, and that is to accomplish the mission that Jesus gave to me, or the Father gave to me, to die, offer my life as a sacrifice for many, to offer my life, to lay down my life on behalf of sinful people. And he did that. He went to the cross, gave his life in exchange for ours, defeated death, rose from the grave, took his place back at God's right hand, and reigns now over us. I've never heard it put this way, but I love, this is just amazing. Somebody said Jesus left his Father at the incarnation. And if you think about it, at the cross, he left his mother. He turned to John and said, here's your mother. So he left his Father and his mother. Why? To be united in love to his bride. He left his Father and mother so out of love for you and me. The birth of Jesus is a rescue story. It's a love story. It speaks to the gracious heart of God and his immense love for his people. And so God sent Jesus, and Jesus was willing to go. You know, I never heard this before. I don't know when it was, probably about 10 years ago, this version of the gospel, but it goes back to Jonathan Edwards, and Tim Keller wrote about it. And first time I read it, I was like, why have I not seen it this way before? This is the way they kind of put it. This is the story of the Bible, the story of Christmas. They say at the center of this universe is this relationship of self-giving love. You think of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? From eternity. But I can't even figure out eternity. But, you know, if you think about just before time even began, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are living in this joyful community. You know, this Son is saying to the Father, Father, I want to glorify you. The Holy Spirit is saying to Jesus and to the Father, I want to glorify you. And they're living in this perfect, joyful relationship. And at some point in eternity, we don't know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit say, out of an overflow of love, let's create the universe to share this love. And they do. Not because they were lonely. They weren't lonely. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had each other. But out of an overflow of love, they create the universe in an explosion of God's glory. And they create us so that we get to be invited into that relationship of love as well. And if you can picture what that was like, all of a sudden, humanity's created. They get to experience what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have experienced. They get to experience it too. But you know how it goes. They rebel against God. They lose that love. But out of his mercy, God could have written them off at that point. But out of his sheer mercy, the Father says to the Son, how about you go on a rescue mission to make it so that they can rejoin this eternal dance of love? And the Son of God is born into the world. He comes to this world and lays down his life. He didn't get anything out of it, but what he does is he creates a new humanity, a new people, and invites them back in to enjoy God's eternal love. And friends, when you see this, when you see that the reason Jesus came to this world is to restore what was broken in the first place, to welcome us back into this eternal relationship of self-giving love, to serve you, to lay down his life for you. Friends, if you hear nothing else today, I want you to hear this. At the heart of Christmas, at the heart of this universe, is the self-giving love of God. That God sent Jesus not to teach a system of philosophy, not to conquer. God sent him to serve, to offer his life for us, that we couldn't do, we couldn't save ourselves. He sent Jesus to save us. He came to rescue you and me from sin and death. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have an easy time believing that God can love you and you and you. And sometimes I just feel like there's no way God can love me. You know, I'm too messed up. I've done too much stuff. You don't know everything about me. Not my wife doesn't even know everything about me. God does. If God knows the worst about me, right? God knows the struggles. God knows the parts that are most shameful of me. How could God love me? God here at the manger answers that by saying, I came because I was sent, and I was sent out of love for you. I came. So, friends, trust Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Bring him your life. Bring him your mess. Christmas gives us a window into the heart of God. We see that God's heart is love, a love so great that Jesus launched this rescue mission for you and for me. Well, that's the first part. Jesus says to his Father, he says, as you sent me into this world. Christmas gives us a radical encounter with God's love. But friends, it gives us something else too, which is this. Number two, Christmas gives us a profound repurposing of our lives. Christmas gives us a profound repurposing of our lives. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Why do you exist? I believe that if you ask the average person why they exist, they would say, I exist to be happy. I really believe if you went in Liberty Village and just saw people on the street, why do you exist? Well, that's why I work. That's why I want relationships. That's basically why I do everything. I want to be happy. I think if you pressed people and said, really, that's it? The purpose of your life is to be happy and then to die? Probably some people would say, well, I kind of think that my purpose is also to love. Like maybe mostly to be happy, but one of the things I need to do is to love others. Most people would say that this is why they're alive. Basically to enjoy life and maybe to love others. If you ask Jesus why he was on the earth, you get a window into his answer in verses 4 and 5 of this chapter. Jesus said in verses 4 and 5, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. And here what he's saying is, why does he exist? Well, he exists for God's glory. His life is all about God's glory. Again, from eternity, Father, I want you to be glorified. Father, I want to serve you. I want your name to be great. And Jesus on this earth is like, Father, my whole purpose is your glory. Well, how did he on this earth accomplish that? Well, Jesus says in verse 4, I glorified you, Father, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Jesus says, basically, Jesus says to his Father, my whole purpose is your glory, and I've accomplished that in going to the cross. But in this passage, he turns with us listening, and he says, Father, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Just as the Father sent Jesus into the world, Jesus now sends us into the world. So it's like ripples, right? The first big drop was Jesus being born in Bethlehem, and his love begins to ripple out. Next ripple is, you know, he goes to the cross, and he offers his life for us, another ripple of love. But, you know, it goes on, and now you and I continue this. Just as Jesus was sent, we are sent. Just as the story began with the self-giving love of God, and now we get to enjoy that love, now we're commissioned to go out and take this news into the world. We have that role of glorifying God with our lives by sharing that love. That's why we're here. Christmas is not just Jesus being sent, but it's also us being sent. And I want you to think about that. We were in Niagara Falls recently, and it was so fun to see, I don't know if you remember those, I'm sure you do, those little kiddie cars, and they're on a track, but you got these kids behind them, and it's coming up to a curve, and you can see them tense up because they know this curve is coming, and they're like getting ready to turn the wheel because, you know, the responsibility, right? They've never driven a car before, and you're there going like, okay, like, it's on a track. Like, you're not doing anything. Relax, whatever. But for a minute there, they're like, I've watched my parents drive, and now somehow my parents have lost their minds, and they've handed me the wheel, and what am I going to do? What a responsibility. Well, friends, picture this. Jesus says, I was sent into this world, and now he's not giving us a little kiddie car where the wheels don't do anything. He's actually given us his Holy Spirit and said, actually, what you do matters. I'm not giving you the illusion of carrying on my mission. I'm giving you my mission. And I want you to go in the world and continue the work that I began. Let other people know of my love. Does anybody feel adequate to do this? Raise your hand. I don't. In fact, if you raise your hand, we're going to have to talk later. And I don't know, we'll have to just get honest with you. We don't feel capable of doing this. We don't have to be a gifted evangelist to do this, though. You can just be you. You can just be, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you can be your personality. If you're an introvert, you don't need to become an extrovert. If you're an extrovert, you don't have to change who you are. You can be you, filled with the Holy Spirit, and do this. I love how one person describes how she does this. She says, every day, I ask God to fill me afresh with his love and compassion for others. I invite unbelievers to do things with me socially. I ask them questions to better understand who they were and what their obstacles to faith were. I begin to casually drop the mention of God into ordinary conversations to see if it might spark their curiosity. I prayed that God would use me. Most of all, I ask God to open their eyes and draw them to the beauty and wonder of the gospel. Friends, we can do that. Just every day, pray, God, give me love and compassion for the people I meet. And then start hanging around socially with people who don't know Jesus. One thing we discovered here when we moved to Liberty Village, it is fun. You guys know this already, but you know, the longer we're caught up in church world, the more we lose how fun it is to be friends with people who don't know Jesus. You can ask them questions. People love to talk. People, what do you think of, you know, like, have you ever wrestled with questions of God? Like, I'd love to hear what you think. People love to talk. You can begin to mention God just casually to see how people respond. And most of all, praying that God would use you, that God would open their eyes to the beauty and the power and the wonder of the gospel. Friends, that's it. You've been sent. You've got a radical repurposing of your life. Jesus Christ was sent out of love to this world for you and for me. And right now in Liberty Village and beyond, wherever you live, he's turning to us and saying, as I came to the world on this mission of love, this mission continues, and this mission continues with you. I'm giving you everything you need, not only for this radical encounter with my love, but also to repurpose your life so that you would bring glory to your Heavenly Father by being sent as he is sent. So I need both. Let's bask in his love today. This week at Christmas, let's receive his love. And let's pray that God uses our lives so that as many people as possible get to experience that love as well. Father, I thank you for just this simple passage where you sent Jesus into the world, where Jesus, as he talked to you about this, just said, yeah, I was sent. I came because I really wanted to go to accomplish the purpose of saving these people, inviting them back into this relationship of eternal love. Father, I just want to pause and say thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, despite all our failures, despite everything that we've done. Thank you that you, through Jesus, have done everything necessary to make us right with you again. Lord, I pray if there's anybody who doubts that love today, I pray that you would just, as they look at the manger, as they look at the cross, that again they would be overwhelmed with your love. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here who's never experienced that before, Lord, I pray that they would turn to Jesus today and receive that love for the first time. And Father, I realize that we exist as sent people. As you sent Jesus, now you send us. I pray as Jesus was faithful in living out that role, Lord, would you make us faithful to live that role? I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that he would enable us, Lord, to go out into this world and just have compassion and love for people, to ask them questions, to talk about you, and to pray that you would change them. And Father, would you do all that so that more people could enjoy your self-giving love, that more people could be changed for eternity, and most of all, for your glory? We pray this in Jesus' name.